So our reading this morning is from the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1, and you can find it on page 909 of your pew Bible. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. This is the word of the Lord. If I could invite Bishop Alf to come up. I'm just going to say a word of prayer before you begin. Heavenly Father, send your Spirit to fill this, your servant Alf, right here and right now. Fill him up to overflowing. May the words that come from his mouth be your words for your people in this place. May we hear them. May we act upon them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios para siempre. Irlanda para Jesucristo. Amén. Aleluya. That's a Chilean liturgy. It says glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. And then you say it every Sunday, Ireland for Christ. Gives you an agenda, a goal, and you channel all your resources, prayer, effort, commitment to that one goal. We are not in heaven because God has not taken us there yet, for he has left us a task, Ireland, the world, for Christ. We were talking just now in the interview about mission to the world. So I've been focusing in the two interventions I've had, and I'm so grateful to God for having this opportunity today, on the helper. So on Thursday night, we spoke a little about, you know, let the helper help. Who is the helper? The Holy Spirit of God. And today I had to choose a passage that includes Lent somehow and Pentecost. I love this passage. It's got it all there, right? Those first few verses of Luke beginning to introduce again what he had left off on his first gospel text at the end of it, talking about Lent, Christ crucified. And what looked like the end of this incipient little sect in Jerusalem, and then around Galilee that was little known really, although the fame was spreading. And then the death of the Messiah figure, and then the resurrection. It's all there in these first passages. So we've got Lent, we've got Easter coming, and then we've got Jesus himself saying, but wait till Pentecost. And then even in this passage, we have the end of the times of the ascension. I was just saying to Simon, it's like a bit of an Irish joke there. You know, you've got the angels looking at these apostles looking at them. What are you looking at there for? You know, you've got a job to do. So get waiting. As Jesus told you, for the helper. Thursday we asked, you know, what does the helper want to do? Let the helper help. And today I'd like to just look at this passage from the point of view of what the helper will do. Because Jesus clearly intended the church to be helped by the Holy Spirit to such an extent that he says to them, you know, don't move from here until you receive power from on high, where he is, a baptism of the Spirit that John had also foretold. I baptize in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus then Luke picks up the same thing, but you will receive, verse 8, power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the whole of Lent, Easter, Pentecost, and finally the ascension and the second coming, it's all in this passage, and it's basically our agenda. So what does the helper want to do so that we fulfill the agenda? Now, listen, they tell me the Irish in the north are shy people. I was told that yesterday. Well, they may have been until yesterday. What a way to beat the British. Well, congratulations. No longer are Northern Irish or Irish people shy. What a victory. And at St. Patrick's Cathedral, we heard a talk yesterday. It was full of actions. And I just love to hear you Irish speaking. And so I thought that we'd sum up the teaching today, just in case, before we go to some videos and things about powerful witness, right, in what I wanted to say. What will the helper do? Well, I'm just going to put it in four words, but I like the way you say it in Irish, right? The helper, according to this passage, will bring presence. And we had some actions yesterday, so we can go presence. In a minute, I'm going to get you to do this with me, okay? Don't get nervous, don't get shy. It's not going to be one of those embarrassing things. No. But presence, and then the way you say prayer. Prayer. I love it, I love it, I love it. You know, prayer. Presence, the Holy Spirit being the presence of God. He'll get you to go to prayer. And then there's power. Power. Listen to the Irish. It's wonderful. The Holy Spirit's going to give power. That's like that. Right? But then there's another one, which I won't have time to expound, but I'm going to say it now. Okay? Which is, and I don't know how the Irish say it, and I want to hear you say it, is perseverance. Perseverance. And that can be that. So this is like this. It's like presence, prayer, power, perseverance. All right? Can we do that? Can you do that in Irish for me? That's the only moment I'm going to make things uncomfortable for you. But just to do it for me. And I want to hear you. How do you say the last one? Can you say it in good Irish? Perseverance. Perseverance. Oh, that's beautiful. Shall we go for it? Okay? What will the helper do for the church to fulfill everything Jesus wants us to do? He will give us prayer. That's the last one. I'll help you. This is the Irish getting, you know, losing all the inhibitions. It starts, are we ready? It starts with presence. Prayer. Power. Perseverance. One more time. Presence. Prayer. Power. Perseverance. It's all in the text. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do with us. That was always Jesus' intention. Presence. Well, it says in the first book of Theology, I've dealt with all that Jesus, I love this, began to do. Because he's going to continue in his risen presence, doing. Began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands. A little phrase there. Through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. Why is it through the Holy Spirit? Luke is very interested in the presence, power, prayer of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit to Luke are absolutely key for the, another word, proclamation of the church. He's interested that we actually proclaim, take out the message. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God, and while staying with them. So first there was presence. The Holy Spirit brings the presence of God to us. I will illustrate in a minute with some pictures you're going to see, but our friend in Colombia, we were talking about this the other day, had a church of 70 people, much tinier than this one, and he began to cry out to God and seek God. He was so desperate. Maybe that's where it starts, that sometimes prayer comes before presence because you're so hungry for this, that he began to ask God, and God said to him, don't bring numbers to my church, bring my presence. So he thought, what does that mean? He began to get alone with God, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, alone with God each day in what we call the perfume factory. People who work in the south of France shut themselves away for 8 hours a day in their perfume factory. They come out, they change, they shower. Wherever they go, the perfume fills that village because it's impregnated into them. And if you spend time in the perfume factory with the Holy Spirit, who is the presence of God, Jesus said, I am leaving and it's good for you that I go, although they wanted to hold on to him. And he'd say, don't touch me, don't hold on to me because you're going to relate to me in a new way. Now he will send the presence of God through the person of the Holy Spirit. We forget he's a person, we forget he is God, but we're discovering in Latin America, like my friend did, that when he began to seek out and understand and relate to the person of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God poured out upon the congregation and upon his own life in the perfume factory. Like this morning in Beryl's kitchen, I was spending time with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, the whole place crackled with the presence of God. I don't think it was the switch that was not quite working on that toaster, but there was something glorious in the kitchen, as there will be in your kitchen, in your home, in your living room, in your study, in your quiet secret place, when the presence of the Holy Spirit comes. Today, you will see in a minute, over 1 million got together for this new year. They thought they'd see the new year in Parque Dan Bolívar, 31st of December, 2017. 1 million Christians crying out to God for their nation. The other 600 churches spent the night in prayer and fasting in Bogota. They didn't go that night. So what's happening? The whole nation that was known as a drug lord nation has been shaken. I've seen churches transformed here. I remember as a postman, and I see you've billed me as the postman in that fantastic photograph of me looking like a criminal. Well, I was a postman, and I remember knocking on the doors and finally ending up praying in the church. I made so many mistakes, and one day the vicar caught me. But the vicar was a very disturbed, dry minister of God. This was in Cornwall. 1974. And I remember talking to him for a while, and I said, "Have you ever asked God to pour out his spirit on you?" "Yeah," I said, "I'm going to leave the ministry. I've got three, you know, elderly ladies in the church and a cat that used to come along." And that was it. Until he really didn't want it. He was fed up. I said, "Ask God to do something by his spirit." I went home, prayed. I thought, the poor man, he's just in a bad way. I really felt sorry for him. When I got to the house the next day, there was a sign on the door saying, "Glory to God, God has baptized me in the Spirit." I thought, poor man, he's even trying to use the language. He's trying to get into this idea of the charismatic movement. I really thought he was really fit for just a psychiatrist. And then suddenly I saw him. He came flying at me like a big flapping blackbird. And he came and he threw his arms. "Oh, God, baptize me." I thought, wow, he's in a really bad way. He's flipped the other way now. Then he told me what happened. After I'd been to his house, he banged his head on the bookcase and he said, "Lord, baptize me in the Spirit." And he just went to bed with a terrible headache and a huge bump on his head. Nothing happened. Next day he was in his service reading that passage in John 5. It says, "Do you want to be healed?" He heard a voice saying, "Malcolm, do you want to be healed?" And in the middle of his service, the three elders said, "Yes!" You see, we need to respond. We need to seek. If we want the presence of God, we have a role to play. Ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you will find. But you've got to be active, because God takes you so seriously. He wants you to understand he takes you as seriously as you take him. So if you don't take him seriously, he still loves you, but he won't manifest the full power of the God that you want. He will do what you want. Unfortunately, in the Bible, there are at least five sins against the Holy Spirit, and churches can commit them. Quench, grieve, resist, blaspheme, lie to the Spirit. And yes, he is sensitive. And so if we do the opposite, invite, welcome, open ourselves, obey, say, "Lord, whatever you say, we will do." You know, the presence of God will be there. So he began to experience the presence of God. And today that church, you'll see it in a minute. I'm going to end with some pictures there, right? So, presence leads to prayer. Now, prayer is not this long list of boring things. After 5 minutes, you've had it. What happens here is they talk to Jesus. They get it wrong. Is this when the kingdom's coming? And Jesus says, "Look, forget all that." He gives them the answer. "You will be baptized in the Spirit, and power will come upon you." So there's prayer. In the perfume factory is where we ask and receive and find out from God what he wants for our churches. And that's what I see in Acts. Do you not? I mean, Peter and others weren't particularly great strategists, but they were in touch with the strategist. Paul was bombing around Europe, but he was told by the Holy Spirit, "Don't go in here, don't go in there." You get a sense that someone else is in charge of church, and that's the Holy Spirit. People have wanted to call Acts the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's true. So prayer leads then to power. And boy, what happened in Pentecost was that the church was just filled with power, which led to proclamation. I tell you, I'm not really satisfied with charismatic games. Let me explain. You know, we've been with the charismatic, and praise God for all God has been doing over these last years. But what I'm trying to say, and we would encourage all that is the move of the Holy Spirit, we're so grateful for things like new wine, which are opening up the churches. But there's something at the center that leaves me slightly unhappy. And that is that when a true revival has hit, wherever it truly hits, there is proclamation. and have power to proclaim the gospel. Now, I like people going up and having words of knowledge for people out in the streets, but that's not really evangelism, nor proclamation. That is, if you like, street pastoring with the gifts of the Spirit. But true evangelism, as such as hit your countries with the Wesleys, that shook a nation and hit Chile, which will be this subject of my PhD study, what happened in 1909, where wham, the gospel began to be preached by simple and letter people with what? With power that brought proclamation. I was in Aumara preaching with a sketchboard sermon with my friend Rog Cunningham, and suddenly, in this huge pedestrian precinct in the middle of Santiago, we heard la 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 la, and a huge demonstration, such as we have in Latin America, came down that precinct, and they came right up to la la de abudote así no tiene Pinochet abudaban abudan, the whole thing. Out came the police, and here's a typical Latin American scene: the police dogs, the tear gas, and we were in the middle there trying to preach. Bang! They knocked over everything, and they washed on, changing society with ideology, with Marxist violence. And then I heard the devil speak to me, like you may have heard the devil speak to you from time to time, saying, did you see that? This is the way people change a society. What are you doing? Yeah, you're throwing out your little gospel aspirins to society. That's what it felt like at that moment. But I prayed, and I felt the power, and that sort of Elisha-like challenge. Where is the God of Elijah? Where are you, God, in this situation? Where are you, God, in Northern Ireland today? I said to the chief of police, would you let me preach again? He looked at me. Are you crazy? Did you not see what happened? I said, yes, but I feel these people need the word of God. Let me preach again. Hold the dogs back, will you, this time? Don't throw tear gas. He must have been an evangelico because he said, go for it, go for it. But I won't respond, right? Okay, I said, don't worry. God will respond. And so I started preaching again. Up came the message. It said, how much is your life worth? How much is your life worth to the scientists? I said, if you just reduce life to matter, what nature gives it. If you're a naturalist, if you have nothing more than materialism. And then they started coming back. La, 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 la. Huge crowd. I was preaching away. Well, your life's worth, just say, like, you know, £1. If you put all the matter of a human being together, that's it. Materialism doesn't give life that much matter. But then I said, how much is your life worth to your enemies? Supposing you were kidnapped today. Or to your friends. If you were kidnapped today, how much would your friends pay for you? Well, of course, because they were kidnapping people in Chile at that time, they all suddenly thought that I was on their side. I said, if you were kidnapped today, hey! And more people go. And if your enemies were wanting to bump you off, how much would they pay to get you bumped off? Because people being bumped off in Chile says, hey! And the crowd was so huge around me, listening to me, because they thought that I was one of them. And then I said, and to God. How much is your life worth to God? Silence. They suddenly realized I wasn't one of them. And the ringleaders are right beside my platform. They said, we're atheists. The Holy Spirit gives words of wisdom in those moments, as Jesus promised. I said, how much is an atheist's life worth to God? They couldn't answer that. I said, I'm just going to draw two lines, and I'm going to show you how much your life is worth to God. And I drew, of course, the vertical line in red paint, and the horizontal line of the cross. And I just prayed. I just said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you know, it was like one of those Wesley scenes. Tremendous silence and conviction. The whole crowd was quiet. The dogs. Ooh, ooh. The police didn't throw anything. The whole demonstration disbanded quietly. And that was the night I learned that man's deepest need is not political, sociological, psychological, economic. It is spiritual. But when the church proclaims in power, with a lot of prayer behind, the presence of God is manifest. In a moment we're going to pray, but I'd just like to show you one or two slides that illustrate this. And I'd like you, as you see the slides, to begin praying, saying, God, do this. Do this in my life. Do this in our church. Do this in Northern Ireland. Let's have it, my brother. Have I got it? I'll do it. Yeah, look, I'll skip through. These are the beautiful family that, you know, we show in churches that support us. But just have a look at them. Little grandchildren, look how beautiful. That's why Hillary was so overwhelmed with knowing everything God's done for us since we were with the Whiteheads. And there is a million Christians in Parque Bolívar. You can't even see them because the lights only covered part of the park. Beyond in the darkness is the rest of the million. Extraordinary thing about that night in Colombia is that it was pouring with rain. Now, I know we marched yesterday for 2 miles, 20 minutes, in freezing conditions. But for Colombians, as the Irish, they're used to this kind of stuff. But Colombians, in the pouring rain for 4 hours, only the presence, the power, the prayer, the proclamation of God would make that possible. And we're praying that God would move. As we have been in Chile, we've recently been praying so hard in Chile that we got out a whole government that was trying to change all the laws. You know about this, you're about to have a referendum here. Pray against it. Bind it with authority. So in a similar way, it's as we get together. That night there were miracles, there were signs and wonders, and the power of God manifest there wonderfully for the nation. We are shaking the demonic presences. See, Jesus said in that synagogue in Nazareth, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I have come so that I may heal the brokenhearted, liberate the captives. And he went through his Christian manifesto of all that he was going to do, and he wants us to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what they were praying about. That's what we're praying about. That's what we want our nations to be shaken by. As Christians move out in that same power, the same miracles take place as we see in the Bible. And of course, these things I'm moving through, but the sort of manifestations of the March for Jesus that more or less shows you the way in which it's manifest publicly in Chile. My book launched with the president there and José Enríquez, the minor, he's the biggest guy, and there's the president now. That book is here. There are about two left. If you want them, talk to Gordon Whitehead. But it basically tells the story of a miracle. Don't ever pray, I was saying the other day, a prayer like, Lord, I want to preach to the world. Because I prayed that in the quiet place in the perfume factory. And then suddenly the president phoned me and asked for a prayer meeting for the 33 lost miners. Now, I don't have the time to go through the whole story, you know it. But that was an amazing thing that occurred. We first had a prayer meeting in the palace. President, his wife, all the cabinet was there. Can you imagine? Your non-sessioning parliament would begin to have sessions like that. Come back to parliament with prayer, tell them. Well, you're probably quite used to that in Northern Ireland. But the incredible thing is what happened next. As we now know, they were praying underneath the ground, that God would intervene and get them out, and the president himself would intervene. Well, that was 4 years, you know, ago that all that occurred. I'll show you in the end how that ended up. And when they were finally, after 70 days, brought up, we brought them here, so you know that miracle that the second drill hit a rock and broke in. 17 days later, they'd been eating just a teaspoonful, half a teaspoonful of tuna fish, some industrial water, surviving. The hero was Jose Enriquez, the pastor. They came to him and asked and said, teach us to pray. He said, well, only if you want me to teach you to pray to the living God. If you want me to teach you to pray to a dead God, hey, choose someone else. Oh, no, dead God prayers. They were all atheists, right? And then he said, look, get praying by starting to humble themselves. So they began this prayer meeting and this incredible services down there. And that was the day God answered my prayer, because they suddenly discovered all the networks that there was an English-speaking chaplain around. So they got him, and I suddenly realized, they asked me the question, could you please give your version of what happened there, chaplain? Wow, I preach to the world! So don't pray prayers like that in the perfume factory, because God takes you seriously. Oh, if you knew how seriously God takes you. Oh, if you knew how seriously God wants to take your church. Oh, if we realize the power there is in prayer and in communion with the Holy Spirit. And then, yes, pray down the lists, and yes, intercede for the nation. But spend hours in the perfume factory with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, the world is shaken again. Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that what Peter did? They devote themselves to prayer and the word. Isn't that what Paul did? 7 years praying, prayer, prayer, prayer. Even the most brilliant pastors in the nation, you ask them and they say, well, I have little time to pray, but I'm doing everything else. And yet that's what we most need to do. Spend hours alone with God, the Holy Spirit, because usually, if we're not doing it, it's because we're relying so much on what we do have, humanly speaking. God will honor that. But when we come to the end of that and say, Lord, there's nothing, I'm just a donkey, please, God, do it, and then it'll come. Presence, prayer, power, and perseverance would be the end of that. Because there's a whole thesis here about what the Holy Spirit does in letting this church persevere through terrible times in Acts. We've not yet got there. Our brothers in Africa have. Our brothers in many parts of the world are living this perseverance. But let us go into that perfume factory. And maybe we will preach to the world yet. That's me, Jose Enriquez, and I want to close with just this. The picture of... yeah, that one. Can we have this? As we go. When Jose Enriquez was pulled up out of the ground, 70 days under. Maybe you're under the ground right now.
This is Jose Enriquez, 54-year-old drill master, evangelical preacher. The man, we're told, who's been keeping spirits up down the mine, worked in the mines for 33 years.
Look how God answers prayer and can answer prayer for you.
Of the 33 trap men.
That's his wife Blanca with the president.
Big, big, broad smile and celebrations with number 24, Jose Enriquez, an evangelical preacher. Just took 8 minutes or so for the capsule to bring him to the surface. Maybe 9 minutes. Really speeding things up here.
This was watched
really
by the entire world.
Elaborate rescues ever attempted, and largely, of course, so far accomplished. This now, just has never been tried before.
We haven't seen each other in 70 days.
Before. And the whole rescue operation, we're told, could be over within 6 hours now. All 33 miners are expected to be brought to the surface by then.
Well, these extraordinary close-up images of the raw emotions that these people are going through. And always you have these beaming smiles around them as well. What a celebration.
I just wonder, there are some of you who might be underground. You just want the power of God. You're saying, I want to be mobilized. I want the helper to do this for me. Some may not even know Christ. I thought we'd end today. Maybe you can play that other video. It's just music. It's a video about our church. Just music. See some pictures maybe. But let's ask God now. Just, he's here. Some of you have been touched even as we're talking, as I've seen you become a bit emotional. And I just simply say this. If you need God to touch you with his power, you want the helper to do these things in your life, then just stand. Maybe some of you wish to find Jesus Christ personally. His presence isn't even in your lives, but some of you have been coming to church recently and you want to know. Please stand when we start the singing and then start the music. There it is. And maybe just stand, because then I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but those around who are members of the prayer team or something, just for a few minutes, just why don't you go around and pray with these people, all right? Let's just pray. Holy Spirit of God, oh, there's so much that we want from you, Lord. Because we too do want our churches to shake our nation. Hallelujah. Just be still a while. Precious Holy Spirit, move now. Heal. Deliver. Some people are bound by terrible satanic bondages, memories, abuses, things that intruded into your life. Jesus wants you to be free of those things so they don't affect you today. Hallelujah. And just now I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will touch you, work miracles in your life. As we've been hearing this, this is our president saying, may God bless Chile. May God bless Northern Ireland.
Buenas noches y viva Chile.
I just want to pray for anybody now. So now's the time. Just stand to your feet there.
Con mis hijos, no se metan. Esa era la principal consigna del denominado Bus de la Libertad. Comenzó su recorrido a eso de las 9:30.
You want God to touch your life. I know that North Irish people are trapped. But just do that. I can see some people standing. Hallelujah. Just stand. There you go. Here we go. And we're going to carry on because we're going to close, but we'll carry on praying in a while. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Close with some music. And if you'd like more prayer, we'd be thrilled with Hillary here to pray for you later. I just pray now, Spirit of the living God, touch these wonderful people that are here with your power. Heal them, deliver them, work in their lives, make them new, refresh them, baptize them in the Spirit, Lord. Work powerfully in each of these lives, we pray. It's amazing what happens, what begins to happen, what then continues happening when we open our lives to Him. Open our lives to a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So He makes Jesus real to us, mission real to us. Now, Lord, baptize in the Spirit this whole church, we pray, in these next weeks and months, I might see something extraordinary occur in Jesus' name. Amen. I can leave it with you.